amen. Praise the Lord for the message and song, and what a blessing it has been all morning long. Just one message after the other through the congregational singing and then the special music. Just praise God for what he has already blessed us with this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 1, 1 Samuel chapter 1, we're going to be reading verse 10 down to verse 20 this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 1. If you would stand with me, if you're able to, as we read the Word of God together, as I read, you follow right along with me. 1 Samuel chapter 1. And she, Hannah, was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. It came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaiden for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you once again, thank you for the privilege and the opportunity of being in church today. Thank you for your presence here and what we've already received. As we have read this passage of Scripture and the birth of Samuel, I pray, God, that you would give each one of us that spiritual insight into what you would have each one to receive today. I pray, God, that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So we find here in verse 20, the birth of Samuel, the great servant of the Lord's. Samuel was used by God to transition Israel from being led by the judges to having kings. So as we look at Samuel, he would have been known as a prophet, a priest, and a judge. He served God mightily, and it was mightily used of God in the nation of Israel. Samuel was Hannah's faith promise offering. As we look at faith promise offering today, and that we know that is part of the offering that we use to be able to send missionaries, missions giving, to be able to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're in our faith promise missions month. We have to understand this biblical concept of faith promise giving. And by faith, we promise to give to God what God supplies. If you look in verse 11 there, the Bible says, and she, Hannah, vowed a vow and said, if you will, she made a promise by vowing a vow and said, O Lord, of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give unto him the Lord, give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. So the Bible story that we're looking at here, and Hannah's giving of her child, firstborn child, to the Lord, her faith promise giving, if you will, her offering. We look back a little bit, we look at chapter 1 and verse 5, we can see some things about Hannah. Hannah, if you will, was barren by design. She would not have known that until after she was married, but then she had been married, it had been 7 years before she would actually give birth to Samuel. And the Bible says, but unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. So Hannah was barren by design. She was not having children. And we find that this is a biblical principle that God has revealed to us, and Jesus revealed to the disciples back in the New Testament, in the book of John. Let me just read that to you. You don't have to turn there. Most of you know the story, but John chapter 9, the disciples came upon a man that had been born blind. And in their mind, they thought there had to have been sin for this man to be born blind, if it was his sin or it was a parent's sin. And Jesus answered them, if you will, in John chapter 9, verse 3, and Jesus answered and said, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God, God had a work involved here. He had a work in mind here, that the works of God should be made manifest in him. He was born blind by design, so that at this particular time, when Jesus walked by him, this man that had been born blind could be healed and be given sight by the Lord, that God would be glorified. That's the whole purpose of what had been taking place here. Hannah's purpose of being barren was that God would be glorified, that we would have the story of Hannah by faith promising to give to God what God supplied her in a faith promise offering. In 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 27 and verse 28, we find here, after Hannah made the vow to God, she prayed to God and she realized this is the vow that she needed to make in between her and God. She didn't have to make that. She didn't have to make that vow. But after prayer and speaking and communicating with God, she knew that that's what she needed to vow and the promise that God would have her to make. Can I tell you, in our faith promise giving, it's between you and the Lord. As you pray about it, then God will have you to give to missions that which he has placed on your heart. And he will not ask you to give more than you can give, but he will ask you to give what he supplies. And so it's a promise. By faith, I believe that God will supply so that I might be able to give so that the souls would be saved around the world. Faith promised missions, that we can see the Great Commission carried out. In 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 27, verse 28, God gives Hannah a son, and Hannah and Elkanah keep their vow or their promise. For the child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. So she, after she weaned the child, she remembered the promise that she had made to God, and God supplied. And now she would take Samuel, a man that was mightily used of God. Without Hannah giving Samuel, vowing to give Samuel to Eli, to the Lord, Samuel would not have been there to do the work that God had called him and had planned for him to do. So we find that would be the story. And most of us have read the story, been taught the story many different times if you've been raised in Sunday school. But let's make that application now. As we look to this story and the application, first of all, Hannah knew that she was not fulfilling her purpose in life. Hannah had married Elkanah, thinking that she would be able to give him children. They would be able to raise their children. But we find that after many years, Hannah was barren. Would she accept that as God's will for her life? She could. She could have if it would have been God's will for her life. I believe that God will give us grace to handle whatever it might be that we have to go through, whatever we have to deal with, if it's his will that we go through that. But if you don't have peace about it, more than likely it's not God's will. If it's God's will, God will give us grace. In every area of life, God has grace that he will bestow upon us, and his grace is sufficient for us in whatever our need, whatever it is that we're facing. But if I am searching and seeking God's will, and I have to go through something, I'm dealing with something, and I don't have the peace of God, then I'm not going to accept something as God's will that God does not give me peace to accept and grace to be able to handle it. So Hannah here, could she have went on? Now we find here that in verse 5, but Hannah, he gave her husband, Elkanah, gave her a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. She was married to a man that loved her deeply. He wanted to be more to her than a son. He wanted to be all that she needed, and he was wanting to give her whatever her hearts would desire, evidently. Now, for some, that would have been enough. They would accept, I'll take that. But Hannah did not have that peace. Hannah knew that she was not fulfilling her purpose in life. I believe God placed it in Hannah's heart that there was something more. That she was not just to accept that she would not have children and just learn to live with a loving husband. There must be more. So we find here in verse 8, then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not, and why is thy heart grieved? All this was taking place. He's viewing this with her. She's grieved. I mean, she's not eating. Her life is somewhat meaningless to her at this point. Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? Realizing, Hannah, you have me, and I want to be better to you than if you had 10 sons. Find purpose in being my wife. Pretty much what he's saying. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk, and now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. She goes to the temple, the house of God. And she was in bitterness of soul. Underline that. Bitterness of soul. She's fighting. She's struggling. I have a loving husband, and I ought to be thankful for that. That ought to be enough. But it wasn't. God would not give her the peace about having enough. And prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. She's just looking to God, saying, God, if I'm going to have peace, it's got to come from you. If I'm going to have joy and accept what I seemingly have to accept, it has to come from you. Yeah. And then she vowed a vow. She vowed a vow. She looked to God to fulfill her purpose. She looked to God for help to fulfill her purpose. Now, yes, she had an adversary. If you look back there in verse 6, we find here that the Bible says, and her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. Peninnah had several children, and she was her adversary. She was there trying to discourage her, trying to get her to give up on life, if you will, and leave her husband, possibly even take her own life, so that she would have Elkanah to herself. Old Testament Bible story. But it was more about Hannah, not about the adversary that was looking to hinder her peace or hinder her joy. It was about Hannah not being able to have spiritual peace. Look at verse 15. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord. Eli come, thinking she had been drunk, and she said, no, my Lord. I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I don't have a spirit of peace. I don't have a spirit of joy. I'm not fulfilling God's purpose for my life. That was her feelings. Can I tell you, as believers today, as we understand biblical stories, they're more than just historical literature for us. It's to help us to understand biblical principles. And I believe there's so many today that really are not fulfilling the purpose that God has for your life. And realize it or not, if you're not fulfilling the purpose that God has for your life, you're not going to have His peace. And you're not going to have His joy. And you're not going to be able to have His grace to accept whatever that might be. Fulfilling God's purpose. Can I tell you, from time to time, if we will find ourselves in this type of a situation, as the Spirit of God is leading us to the place of purpose. John chapter 15. This is something Jesus taught. John chapter 15. If you're saved this morning, that means that you have faith to believe in Jesus Christ. You knew you're lost on your way to the devil's hell. You cried out to God saying, I want salvation. I know that I am lost in need of a Savior. I believe that Jesus died for my sins, paid my sin debt, resurrected on the third day, and I'm calling out to Him right now to come into my heart, save me, to be my Savior. That's salvation. Jesus said here in John chapter 15 and verse 10, if you keep my commandments, now that you're saved, if you look to me and do as I have told you to do, if you commit your life to being what I want you to be, that's what he's saying here. He says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. You're going to sense my love. You're going to feel my love. You're going to abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Jesus teaching his disciples, and he tells them, and I've come to set you an example, and I've come to help you to realize that God has a purpose for your life. Once you have received me as your personal Lord and Savior, God has a purpose for your life. He has something that he wants you to be accomplishing on a regular basis every day. And it's associated with just keeping my commandments. And if you are keeping my commandments, then you will have this inner joy. No matter what circumstances you find yourself in, no matter what else has taken place, if you are living as accomplishing my purpose for your life, you're going to have this inner joy. There's going to be a peace, if you will, as well. There'll be my presence. My presence will be with you. You'll sense it. Your spirit will be one of joy and peace. Yeah. If you know Jesus Christ, you're living within his will, we'll have spiritual peace. If you're not living a life as being ashamed of Christ. The Bible says if we're truly saved, we'll not live a life being ashamed of Christ. The Spirit of God inside of us will lead us to live a life that is exalting Christ. So if we're not ashamed of Jesus Christ, that means this Christian life that I'm living, I have a testimony of being a Christian. If I'm ashamed of Christ, then my coworkers won't know that I'm a Christian. If I'm living a life ashamed of Jesus Christ, my other students, classmates, they won't know that I'm a Christian. That's being saved, but living a life as being ashamed, and you're not going to have a testimony. And if you don't have a testimony, God saved you for a purpose in this life. You are to be the salt of the world, the light of the earth, the light of the world, the salt of the earth. You are to represent Christ.
if I'm saved and I'm not representing Christ, if I don't have a Christian testimony, there's going to be a conviction in my heart. There's going to be a grievance of the Holy Spirit, for the Holy Spirit lives within me. Matter of fact, in Acts in chapter 1 in verse 8, you know the verse very well. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You're going to receive the strength, the help, the power of God inside of you. He's coming to you, and ye shall be. This is what the Holy Spirit of God is going to be leading you to be. If you're not being what he wants you to be, you're going to grieve him. And if you're grieving the Spirit of God that dwells within you, you're not going to have his joy. You're not going to have his peace. Amen. Everybody following me this morning? That's what the Bible says. So he is coming to you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and to the othermost parts of the earth. I will be concerned about people receiving Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And so I'm going to have a testimony for Christ. It's his purpose. Every born-again believer, it's God's purpose for your life in saving you and leaving you here on this earth. If he didn't have a purpose for you here on this earth, he'd call you on to glory. Why leave you here when you have so much to look forward to in heaven? The only reason that we're here as born-again believers is God has a purpose for our life. And his purpose for our life, first of all, is to have a testimony. And then we are to have a witness. Along with my testimony, I need to be able to tell people, speak to people, talk to people about my Savior, Jesus Christ. My testimony is how I live my life, what people see. And my witness is what they hear, what I'm able to talk to them about. And if you're living for Christ and if you're fulfilling the purpose, you'll have a service. Because God's equipped all of us as believers with gifts, spiritual gifts for a purpose. So my purpose as a testimony, my purpose as a witness, and my purpose as a servant of the Lord, if I have that, if I'm fulfilling that, listen to me, there will be a peace. There will be a joy. You can accept whatever your circumstances. Because you know that you're in the will of God. God has a purpose for each one. Hannah said, I don't have it. Look around and I've got a husband. Some women would die to have a husband that just loves them and will give them shopping money. Whatever you want, I'll give you money. You can do this, you can do that. I'm better to you than having 10 sons. There's women that said, that's all I'd ever want. If that's God's purpose for your life, you could do that. But if you're saved, if you know God, and he has more for your life, then you're not going to have peace in just accepting that. You're not going to have his joy in accepting that. God's going to place within your heart an understanding, I have more. I want to use your life. I have purpose beyond what you have right now. So verse 17, go back with our text. That's Hannah. That's where she's at. Verse 17. After Hannah took it to God, was in bitterness of soul. She sought God and God revealed to her what his plan was. Ask me for a son, I'll give you a son. And as I give you a son, I want you to, by faith, giving back to me. Faith promise. Verse 17. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition and that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaiden find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. After Hannah vowed to God, she left knowing that God would answer her prayers. Amen. It changed her outlook on life. No longer sad. She knew God was going to answer and she would have a child.
to give back to God. Changed her outlook. She now had purpose. She understood what God would do through her. I remember my own life, and I think all of us at some point will have God working in our lives, revealing things to us. But before I surrendered to fulfill God's purpose for my life, even before I got into auto body and frame, and before God took me through, and I used an illustration a couple weeks ago on the accidents, car accidents that I went through, that God was teaching me and working inside of me. But even before that, it was a very dark time in my life. I thought I wanted what I had at 17. At 17, I wanted independence. I didn't want any accountability. I didn't want any restrictions. I didn't want no one telling me what to do. I moved out of the house when I was 17. And I was able to do so. I actually was the manager, 17 years of age, I was managing the Tibbs Outdoor Theater. That's 46 years ago. How many of you remember, ever heard of the Tibbs Outdoor Theater? Oh, wow, surprising me. Some of you telling your age right now. Before they had all the different things they have now and the technology, they had outdoor theaters, and people would drive to a stand, and they would get the speaker off the stand, they'd bring it in, and they would be able to watch a show, an outdoor theater. It was a pretty good size, Tibbs. They actually ended up having three major screens around there. I was managing that Tibbs Outdoor Theater. Now, it's not Tid's Outdoor Theater. Some people get it. And my name is not Tibb Outdoor. Tibb, Dan Tidd. It is T-I-D-D. This was Tibbs, T-I-B-B. All right? But anyway, I was managing that at 17 years of age. After I managed there for 17 years, because I lived back in New Palestine, then I transferred and I was managing the National Drive-In Theater when I was 18 years old. How many remember the National Drive? Those that live out here, it was on East Washington Street. They only had one screen. But it was something that now there's a nice housing project. Some of our people have actually lived there. But I was managing that National Outdoor Theater. At the same time, my mom and dad had to retire, big medical retirement, and we lived in a farmhouse. We were somewhat, my teenage years, being raised on a farmhouse outside of New Palestine, in between New Palestine and Greenfield on 400 South there. And they moved out, downsized. Dad couldn't take care of the property any longer. And so at 18 years old, I rented that house. So I'm renting the house that I grew up in that had the restrictions. I'm renting a farmhouse now. It's mine. That had the authority of my father telling me what to do and what not to do. And I thought I had what I wanted. I thought I had what I wanted because I didn't have restrictions. I rented the house. Now I'm living in the house that I was somewhat raised in, and there's no mom and dad there. No accountability. And I thought I had what I wanted. But can I tell you, the building doesn't make the home. And because of my rebellion, I allowed a lot of things to take place in that house that I won't go into. That caused me to go into a very dark place in my life. I don't like thinking back. As I was preparing this lesson, I knew God would have me to share this with our church, but I don't like looking back to that. It was a very dark place. I didn't have any godly friendships. Didn't have any accountability because no one really cared. I was 17 years old thinking that's what I wanted. I don't want to be accountable. I don't want somebody to tell me what to do. I want to be my own. I want to do what I want to do. And I achieved that. only to find out it's not really what I wanted. I used to come in at certain hours and I'd hear my mom in the other room, "Danny, I'm praying for you." And I remember thinking, "I don't want you to pray for me. I don't want the accountability. I don't want the conviction." And I could come in whenever, and I didn't hear a voice saying, "Danny, I'm praying for you." I didn't have a father saying, "No, you can't do that. That's not what a Christian ought to be doing. You should not be allowing that in this house. This is my house. You will not do that. You'll abide by the rules of the house." I didn't have that. And I was living in the same house. The people coming in, doing all sorts of different things, I realized I had no relationships with anybody who truly cared. And I remember thinking, if this is what life's about, I thought I had what I wanted. I don't want it. I had almost given up on living. 18 years old and given up on life. And I think about Hannah. If this is what life is all about, I don't have a desire to live. I got somebody that loves me. That's not enough. There's got to be more. I feel like there's something else. There's more purpose for my life. If Hannah would have given up on life, if she would have taken her own life, there would never have been a Samuel. Satan would have got a tremendous victory. I go back to that dark place. If I'd have given up on my life, I'd never have become a pastor for the last 34 years. I've never been a youth pastor for 5 years. If I'd have given up on purpose for my life, God sent me a gift, my sister June. She realized something like that. I was talking to her and she invited me to come and live with her and Ron. Somebody who cared. Somebody who just loved me and knew I was in a bad place. Ron had just gotten saved. They were attending Lawrence Baptist Church, a fundamental independent Baptist church. And I moved into their downstairs room. And Ron's testimony, even then, impacted my life. God gave me a second chance to be in a Christian home and to have a desire to establish a Christian home. I'm sure glad I didn't give up on my life. There for a little while, I couldn't see past the circumstances that I was in at 18 years old. I couldn't see through the circumstances of my life. And yet I knew that God had a design plan. God had a design plan. Hannah, she couldn't see through the circumstances of her life, but she knew that God put it in her heart. God had a design plan for her. And when she cried out to God, God gave her something that by faith would be used to give back to God. You might be struggling today. You might be in a dark place. You might not be able to see your future. Can I tell you, if you're still here, God has a purpose for your future. Look to God. Make a vow. God, if you'll just give me whatever. I'll give it back to you. Hannah was faithful to fulfill her vow. Once God blessed her, once God gave her what would change her life, she didn't hold on to it. She realized it was God who gave it to her, and he gave it to her to give back to him. Once God blesses you, once God gives you what he wants you to give back, be faithful to give as God would have you to give. 1 Samuel chapter 2, look there with me, we're done. 1 Samuel chapter 2, after Hannah took Samuel down to dedicate him to Eli, and Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. When you finally dedicate your life to God's purpose for your life, can I tell you, have a different outlook on life, and the joy of the Lord returns. The peace of God is there, and you're ready then to just serve God with whatever it is that God wants you to serve him. Verse 21. Chapter 2, verse 21. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters. And at the same time, the child Samuel grew before the Lord. She now is fulfilling her purpose, and she has the blessings of God upon her life. God has a purpose. If you're here this morning, can I tell you, that's evidence enough. God has a purpose for your life. Seek after what God wants you to receive and what God would have you to give back to him. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Samuel. Hannah's faith promise offering salvaged her life. It salvaged her life because she would then have purpose. Purpose in serving God. Your life has purpose. The purpose is in serving our God. Father, we bow before you. Thank you, Lord God, for meeting with us. Thank you for this passage that reveals much about Hannah. God, how you worked in her heart and her spirit, how her darkness turned into light and the blessings of God. Help us today to turn that darkness into light and your blessings. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray.